It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Are banks, okay? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Banks have been through a lot the past couple months, you know, with the failures and the bank runs and the stock crashes. So how are they doing right now? The Federal Reserve took a look and released its financial stability report yesterday. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live with the details. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So one interesting piece of information in that report is that there's a concern over banks' exposure to commercial real estate. What does the Fed have to say about that?
Right, Sabri. This is something the Fed is keeping an especially close eye on because, you know, with more people working from home, there are more vacancies in office buildings. So it could become harder for the owners of those buildings to pay off their loans. The Fed says it's monitoring the status of these loans and it's increasing supervision and examination for banks that have made a lot of commercial real estate loans.
Is there a certain type of bank that has made those kinds of loans? Like which banks have made the most real estate loans?
We're talking about small and mid-sized banks, Sabri. Of course, Silicon Valley Bank was a mid-sized bank. Small banks had the most commercial real estate loans, and that would be banks with less than $100 billion worth of assets.
And what about just like the overall health of banks? What does the Fed have to say about that?
The financial stability report is pretty reassuring about that. It says household debt is still fairly low and concentrated among borrowers with good credit ratings, although delinquency rates are rising for things like car loans and credit cards. But the report concludes that banks have enough of a financial cushion and are, quote, resilient to potential strains from the Fed's higher interest rates.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak, has jumped into the debate over the consequences of increasingly sophisticated AI. He told the BBC he thinks artificial intelligence is going to make scams and misinformation harder to spot. Wozniak said anything created by AI should be clearly labeled and that the sector needs regulation.
The trouble is, AI is so intelligent, it's open to the bad players, the ones that want to trick you about who they are. Are they trying to sell you something you don't want? Are they trying to trick you to get your account information? You know, we see malicious intrusions all the time, both personal and companies that get intruded and millions of accounts get, you know, exposed and all that. That's only going to, I would only expect that to become worse of a problem than it is now. Let's be careful about how fast we're proceeding. When we first invented the internet, what if we saw it today and issues of spam, for example? What if we had designed the internet with some protocols that absolutely avoided spam?
That's Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak speaking with our newsroom partners at the BBC. Goldman Sachs has settled a gender discrimination lawsuit. This was brought all the way back in 2010 by two female employees who said the company's policies led to more promotions and better pay for male employees. The suit was expanded to a class action lawsuit a few years later. Goldman has agreed to pay $215 million to settle the case. The money would be split among 2,800 women, current and former employees, and their lawyers. Goldman Sachs stock closed down 0.2% yesterday. Small business owners in the U.S. are feeling kind of down right now. It's still hard to find workers, and inflation is still a thing. So there are more business owners who believe the economy is going to get worse in the next 6 months than owners who think it's going to get better. That is according to the advocacy group, the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. But despite all of that, some companies are finding workarounds. Ali Budner reports.
The responses to this month's small business survey read a bit like a broken record. When it comes to sales, inventory, hiring, credit conditions, small business owners are wary.
They don't find it particularly a good business condition. They don't expect it to improve for the most part.
Holly Wade leads the NFIB's research center.
And also they don't find it favorable for business expansion.
She says there are two main culprits.
It is still all about the tight labor market and inflation.
Nearly half of small businesses have at least one job opening they can't fill, according to NFIB's survey. And Wade says that's going to be a big hill to climb for companies that need to staff up for summer. But she says businesses are finding ways to adapt.
Limiting business hours is often one way that many small business owners are trying to navigate the staffing shortage.
Other small businesses are trying to attract workers by boosting benefits, offering flexibility, and of course, raising pay.
We have given hundreds of raises in the past 2 years.
Christina Sovereigns-Schwartzman runs the Sawgrass Recreation Park, an eco-adventure outfit in the Florida Everglades. They give boat tours to see Florida alligators and offer fishing and camping on their 17 acres of wetlands. She employs about 50 workers in peak summer.
So our payroll has gone up 220% since before COVID.
Still, Sovereigns-Schwartzman is optimistic. With people traveling again, her business is busier than ever. So she's investing in new boats, new docks, updated restrooms. She wants to add even more upgrades, but inflation.
I would estimate our hard costs have increased across the board, probably between 15 to 25%.
So she's had to raise prices. And that flexibility is key, says Glenn McDonald, an economics professor at Washington University in St. Louis.
We used to have a little better sense of how all these things worked. So I think there's that extra element of uncertainty.
COVID, inflation, a labor shortage, the threat of recession. For small businesses, the last couple of years have added obstacles to an already tricky course. I'm Allie Budner for Marketplace.
Our producers are Katie Barnfield, James Graham, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.